Blog Talk Radio.
Woman, songs of life we sing, songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life we bring.
Here we go.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing, songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life we bring.
Sing it again.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing, songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life we bring.
Woman to woman,
woman to woman,
songs of life we bring, songs of love and songs of joy. Woman to woman, yeah. Okay, Kayla, sing it down low for him. Sing it down low for him.
Introduce tonight our special guest host. I'm not going to call him a guest because this is not his first time on the show, but he is going to be guest hosting with us for the rest of the month of August. So we are pretty excited, and we want to welcome Randall Kelly. Are you in the studio?
I am here. Thanks for having me again.
Well, we are glad you are here, my brother, and we are so ready to pick back up on this conversation that we were having last week. For those who may just be tuning in for the first time on tonight, we covered a multitude of topics. And tonight's show is, or the month of August shows are titled, Fathering from Afar, Fact or Fiction. We want to talk about the things that we know are for a fact, and we want to talk about some of those myths, you know.
Exactly. And, again, our whole goal for this show is to begin to mend families, bring families back together. So we're hoping that you're listening, that you're having your children listen with you, you're having your mates listen with you, or your exes listen with you, as we begin to share some of the experiences that go into fathering, parenting, households, and how we can be of support to each other, right?
Yeah, that's what it's about, you know. I believe that if the parents could get it together and have some type of structure, whether they're together or not,
uh-huh.
I think we'll see a lot different in the children in this next generation, because these children become adults. And if we have children that become confused adults, you know, because they've seen with their parents, either the parents not being in their lives,
mm-hmm.
or seeing the fussing and the arguing and the discord among their parents, it creates what we see today. We see a lot of broken men.
Uh-huh.
We see a lot of broken men. And we're broken women too. But this month of August, we want to talk about the men. We want to encourage and empower them and educate them. We see a lot of broken men that are just not sustaining. Randall, do you have any comments on that?
I do. you know, when we think about the things that men go through on a daily basis, and they try to juggle life and family and work, and a lot of times men have an issue with expressing themselves. And sometimes it's hard to express themselves to others, and so they bottle it in. And that's why you see so many issues with men as far as being frustrated, as far as having anger issues. You have all these different things and all these different dynamics that men deal with on a daily basis. So it's good to have someone in your corner that you're able to express yourself to, at least have an outlet so that not just for myself, but all of us in general, so that we can be better men, not just to our families, but our significant others as well.
Oh, definitely. You know, earlier, before I actually came to the studio, I was in my quiet time, and one of the things that really was pressed upon my spirit is that our not only do the children need our men, but as a whole, as a community, as a culture, we need our men. We absolutely need our men. We see so much violence in this world today. We see so much hatred towards us as a people, and I'm talking about black people in general right now, that there is no reason why we should not be loving on each other.
Mm.
There's nobody else willing to stand in and love on us, and we need to begin loving on each other. And like I said, we need the men in the home. We need the men in our children's lives. We need the men in our lives. So we need to begin to see what we can do to reconcile these relationships and bring our men back home.
Yeah.
Just standing together as a community, as in support of each other, like our children need to know that they can depend on both parents, that both parents are able to put their differences aside in order to enrich the child's life. You know, at one point in time, we loved each other. At one point in time, we would give the world for each other. But
maybe
somewhere up in there,
maybe.
Yeah, most of the time, hopefully most of the time, but somewhere up in there, we got lost. Somewhere up in there, we got confused. Somewhere up in there, we got angry. Somewhere up in there, we got hurt. And we never let go of those things, which are now causing us today to have these relationships that are basically non-existent. And we're bringing up our children thinking that that's the way that things are, or that's the way things are just supposed to go. With, in fact, when you think about what God intended for as far as the family structure, there was the man and he was the head. But not only that, you see that in those times there was one man who really guided the rest of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was in support of that man. And they gathered everything together, their resources, just everything they had, and that's how they remained whole, and that's how they were able to sustain and grow bigger and leave legacies behind. And so, again, you know, I love that you talked about just the struggles and the challenges that men are going through, that men do go through, so that we can start to put some salve on or some balm on those wounds and start to heal the men so that they have the opportunity to be of guidance to our youth. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. And, and I want to just say something really quick as we go into this show, because we're going to get down into some deep things that we're going to discuss. And we're doing this from a male's perspective because, you know, women always, again, we have all kind of shows. We have all kind of help books and help this and women's club and women's groups. And I don't think a lot of men have those type of support systems. So, again, we want you, the listening audience, and those that will be listening in, either you're listening in live through the studio or you're listening in via the Internet, or maybe you haven't even listened in yet. You're going to listen to the archive tape. What we want is for you that's listening in to be able to hear from a male perspective, hear the hearts of our brothers. Now, he's only one man, and I'm sure things vary from man to man, but I think that he could speak he's speaking from a male's perspective, and though there may be many, and we're going to ask our studio audience, if you are in the studio on tonight and you have a comment or you have a question, please do not hesitate to dial 1 on your dial pad. That will let our team know that you have a question or a comment. We will bring you in. If you want to be anonymous, you can be anonymous. You don't have to announce your name. All you have to do is state your comment or state your question. Let me tell you, this show is going to be as powerful as the questions that come about. It's going to be powerful based on your ability to participate in the show. So if you're listening, that's great. If you're participating, that's greater. So we want the participation from our audience, because I think that's why we're in the situation we're in now, because nobody's asking questions, or people ask questions and they can't get answers because whoever you ask the question to didn't have the answers.
Mm-hmm.
So we just want to let you know that the studio phone is open, dial 1, and we'll bring you in for any questions or comments. So what do we
want to
have Randall start with on this evening?
Well, Randall, I love that you shared that sometimes it's difficult for men to, you know, one, express their feelings or talk about their feelings or even have that support group. And if you could share, you know, maybe about how, share some of the experiences you have and how you are able to now express yourself, because I know there had to be some growing into the place where you are now. And then also, if you could recommend to some of our listening audience, you know, some ways that will be a support to them.
Sure. And again, and it definitely takes growth within yourself and realizing that, hey, you're not going through something alone. And I know starting out with this, especially with me growing up, a lot of times, you know, sometimes you may think you have an outlet and you may put your trust in certain folks, and then you notice that sometimes those same people don't have your best interest. And so it's always good to have that type of outlet that you can reach out to someone and talk to them and discuss certain things that you're going through, because you never know. Some people may be going through those same things you're going through, the same things that you think you're going through alone. There may be someone who is about to hit that same rut, or who just got out of that rut, or is also going through that same situation. So you just never know. And as men, like I said, a lot of times it's hard for us to discuss those things, it's hard for us to open up. And it's not so much that we haven't been taught. It's just that we don't want to make ourselves seem weak or as if we can't take care of a situation, because society teaches us, society has this stronghold over the man that he has to do this, 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 and this, and he can't show weakness. But in my marriage, it has helped me to be open and honest and be that the type of person to my wife and my kids that allows me to have that outlet and for them to see me even in my most vulnerable times. And even now, when I talk about having that outlet, having people that you can reach out to and you can talk to, a lot of that deals with trust. And sometimes trust is a big thing these days. Sometimes we can't put our trust in a lot of people because you just can't trust them. And that's when, if you can't trust anyone else, if you can't talk to anyone else, then that's when you have that voice within yourself. You start talking to God about certain things. And you let God handle you. You let God minister to you. And that allows you to put yourself in a situation where you don't have to feel like you're going through it alone. And a lot of times, even with another outlet that I've used going through certain situations is even just putting it on paper. You'd be surprised that sometimes you just take the time to just put something on paper, to write it out, or to get somewhere where you can meditate, or get somewhere quiet, or listen to something, you know, soft music or anything, spiritual music or whatever it is that can take you to that place to where you're able to look at your circumstances, look at what you're going through, and kind of realize and kind of talk to yourself that, hey, it's really not that bad. It can be a whole lot worse, but you know, just being thankful that you still have that, feeling that God is taking care of things and God is covering you.
I love that comment. You know, one of the things that I personally, and it's just my opinion, it doesn't make it right, it doesn't make it not right. One of the things that I feel about today's culture is that, one, we are so, we're it's instilled in us to run away from our problems instead of facing our problems and looking at them head on. You see so many people running to the clubs or drinking all the time and doing drugs. And I know it's been been throughout time. However, when I look at men my age and men younger, it seems to be that's what the culture is. And again, not just men, women as well, but because we're talking about men, I'm going to try and stick to that topic. But you have so many people that are running away from their problems and not dealing with their problems that they're not building up the stamina. They're not building up the muscle, the wherewithal to push forward, to be able to learn more and teach more. Mm-hmm. And so... for me, it's like, how do you take a culture of people like that and teach them to do different? Because like I said, when I look at the news or I look at different beatings, there was this picture going around of one young African-American man that had got beaten by these white supremacists, and he had his head all gashed open and blood was falling out of his head. And I said, this is my young brother. This is my cousin. This is my son. And who does he turn to in order to feel supported? What group of people are standing on the line for him? What group of people are going to make sure that he's protected? And, again, if we don't have our men in place teaching our young men how to be men, how do we begin?
Yeah, as you were saying that, one of the things that came to my mind, and I noticed that, you know, everybody's going to have their perspective on the call tonight. And mine's come from a perspective, as you're right, how do they know unless they're taught?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How do they know unless they're taught? And for some reason, we've been taught, and we're going to talk about Black America right now. This doesn't take away from any other race. But tonight we're going to talk about Black America because there's a lot of things in the world that's going on right now that's crucial for us. Uh-huh. And what I found is that, and I don't know if it started in the 60s or the 70s, I don't know exactly when it started.
Uh-huh.
But what I do know is that we've actually built the emergency Negro.
Oh, what is that?
The emergency Negro is, and that mentality is, when something happens, we know how to come together.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So let somebody get police brutality to a black American, or let something happen devastating to a black American, then the black community then comes together, and I call that the emergency Negro. Now, that may sound kind of harsh to people, but I say that because we come together in emergency situations, but outside of those emergencies, we're tearing each other down,
uh-huh.
and it's called divide and conquer.
Yeah.
And we're tearing each other down, and we're killing each other off, and we're doing all these other things. And so the emergency Negro mentality is not going to help our community. It's not going to. Okay, you come together, but what are you doing the other 360 days out of the year? You come together for 5 days, you rally, you riot, you do all this stuff, but what do? Well, that again goes back to, what are we taught? What are we feeding our people? What are we feeding our young men? What are we showing them that's giving them other options? Randall, you want to speak to that?
Sure. One of the things we look at is where is the disconnect? What are the issues that we're seeing with black men in general? And we look at, for starters, we can talk about social media and how social media, you think about back in the day before social media had such a big following, sometimes even when you're laying in bed or when you're at home, you were kind of forced to communicate, And nowadays, if you don't feel like talking, even if you're out in public, you can just get in your phone. And just, stick to what's there. And a lot of times it just kind of feeds into that isolation mentality to where you're not reaching out to others, you're not talking to others, and then you believe in everything you see on social media. And going back to what you're saying as far as with the, what do blacks do the other 364 days a week, the Facebook lawyers or the Facebook activists, the keyboard lawyers and the Facebook activists, you see something that's on social media, and at that point you decide to rally up or you share or you post or you do a hashtag, but the other 364 days a week, you're doing nothing. You're doing nothing to let anyone see the type of light that you have within yourself. And I think that's one of the things that just kind of perpetuates what's going on. It just constantly feeds into the disconnect that we have, not just with black men, but just in general. That's something that we really need to kind of, take into consideration when we're looking at how can we connect to one another. What can we put in place so that we can kind of better decipher ourselves when it comes to certain things? Because like I said, we know if there's anything dealing with black folks, we like to rally up and do things and do the hashtags. But what else can we do to put us in that mindset to where we are taking care of one another in these trying situations? And in addition to, like I said, not just dealing with one circumstance, but just in general, just having that outlet. It just goes back to that, having that outlet that you can reach out to someone and talk to and be able to be open with someone, you can share your feelings. Because when we keep things bottled up like that, it just puts us at a disadvantage. Definitely puts us under disadvantage.
It sure does. I'm going to share a little bit about my own experience, especially since we're talking about fathering from a distance and fathering in households, because I shared last week that I have raised my children independently of their father. There's been times when he's been in their lives, and there's been times when he hasn't been in their lives. I won't go too much into that because, his experience is his to share.
Mm-hmm.
I'll share more so about my experience. But one of the things that I've always felt like is extremely important to do is one, keep that open line of communication between myself and my ex-husband. There's been times where I've been pissed off. There's been times where I've been crying in the night or bitter about having to raise my children and him not being active participant or as much as I require his activity or think that is necessary for my daughters who are all grown at this point in time. But again, I've always left that line of communication open. I've always been supportive because I felt like if I am being negative to this man, then what am I instilling into my daughters? What am I instilling into their character about one themselves? Because if I can tear him down, which is a part of them, then I'm tearing them down as well. So they've always seen me share when I talk about their dad, I'll talk about the times where we were in love with each other and we did, appreciate each other. When I have talked about times when I was upset, but it was once they got older. When they were younger, I never did that.
Right.
But I'm saying all this to say that we have to find a way of, even when the love is lost, what we think love is, that we are still able to love on one another and be in support of each other. Because how do we put the kids first if we're not in relationship with each other? There's no way that the children are coming. It means our own insecurities, our own fears are coming first. So how are we presenting an atmosphere that is conducive to the child growing up with the fullness of the resources that we have together and individually? You know, if my parents are not communicating or if my parents can't get it together, what do I expect of the rest of the world? What's okay for me to do and not do? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, we have to get past ourselves. We have to get past ourselves and come to this place where the children are first and foremost. And in order to do that, I should always, as the mother of your children or you as the father of my children, be able to give you respect. I should always be able to, just be in support of you. That's just me.
And that sounds great. I think we need to find out how do we do that, you know,
Because
you're saying some profound things from a conscious state. So how do we, Rhonda, how do we get our men and women? Because, because a lot of men, and this is not an excuse, but let's talk about what's real. And the reality of it is that there are men that's not in their kids' life because they don't want to deal with the drama. They don't want to risk going to jail. It's a lot of factors. And I know some women are going to probably be like, but that's the truth. Let's keep it real, as far as, that's not everybody's reason why they're not in their children's life. I hear that reason often that it's just so volatile between the two parents.
Yeah.
That a lot of times the father has opted to, and the mother has some options too. But I want to remind those who are just tuning in, we know that this is it's the two-sided street. But tonight we're on the side of the street with the men, so we're talking about the men. And a lot of men have opted not to be in their kids' life because of the volatileness. It's like every time they come around, it's crazy, it's chaotic. The kids are seeing the cussing and the fussing and the arguing and the fighting, and it always just goes overboard.
Mm-hmm.
And so some fathers have opted. I've heard fathers say, you know what? My children are going to get 18. And when they get 18, they're going to reach out to me, and then I'm hoping that their hearts will be open to hear what I have to say. But guess what? You'll never be able to go back over those last 18 years.
Yeah.
You'll never be able to see them take their, graduate or these accomplishments. None of that. And the kids, at the end of the day, they do want a relationship with their dad. Even when they're angry with their dad, they desire to have a relationship with their dad, and most of them are forgiving. Kids are very forgiving. But the damage that's caused from the absence is far greater than we could ever imagine. And that's why we see that is a root cause to a lot of the issues we see, divorce.
Uh-huh.
A lot of divorces and stuff have got to do with daddy issues, not just with the men, but with the women too. Daddy issues or just different things. It's so much that it's so many branches to this tree.
Yeah, definitely.
And, you know, one of the things that we think about, as far, especially as far as with men, a lot of times, and this is not all women, but some definitely like to hold that child over the father's head as if, you know, pretty much like the golden ticket, you know. And a lot of women know that the only thing that they can do to get to that man's heart is by their children. And so a lot of times what the men will do is they'll just, you know, distance themselves altogether. And a lot of that has to do with them not knowing how to control their feelings and not knowing how to express themselves. And then at the same time, just not being as tolerable as women when it comes to certain things. So a lot of times they do. They push themselves off. They say, hey, you know, when that child turns 18, they'll know how to find me, or I'll always be around. Or, you know, the baby wants to get older, they'll make their, once they get older to make their own decision, I'll be around. But like you were saying, it's you can't get those years back. You definitely can't get those years back.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that, you know, we definitely have to, men have to do better at doing is that, hey, if you're dealing with a woman that you know this is her game plan, this is what she does, this is what she likes to do at every expense, you know, some men can't afford an attorney. Some men don't have the resources to do that. But in a lot of cases, you do have the resources to file a police report. You do have the resources to maybe have something in place that kind of covers you. Because like I said, if you get to the point where you don't want to be dealing with, you know, you don't want to deal with the woman and the games that she plays, something has to be in place. So you have to think of something that you can do to where it'll put you in the circumstances where you're not, you know, you're not being an absentee father. You know, because at the end of the day, the only person that's suffering is the child. And so you're not doing, you're making the child suffer even more.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Making the child suffer.
You know, and here's my thing. When you can't put yourself aside in order to put the child first, why are you even deciding to be a parent? You're competing, like, if we take the fact that what you just said as far as the women holding the child over the father's head, you're competing with the father for
the affection or attention.
Not even just the affection or attention, but who's going to be the boss, or who's going to control this situation? Why are you trying to manipulate and control the situation? This whole situation has really nothing to do with you as a parent, except for doing your best in guiding and providing for that child. And if you are in a relationship, or you're in a parenting type relationship where you've been putting yourself first, or you've been arguing with the father, or you've been arguing with the mother, it's time for you to step back, look at the situation, and start to readdress some things. Because the only reason why you're arguing is it has to be about you and that other person, not even about the child.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want a certain amount of money, or you want them to fulfill a certain amount of time, it's basically that person is not fulfilling the expectations that you have put forth on
Correct. What
type of parent they should be, or how they should show up in that role. If someone is willing to be in their child's life, let them be in their child's life. They may not pay what you want them to pay. They may not spend the amount of time that you want them to spend. But when you think about anything that's beneficial for the child, anything that's beneficial, why would you withhold that from them? Why?
Yeah.
You're giving them
strife
before
they
even get out into the world. Say that again.
Exactly. And I was going to say exactly.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's saying it is one thing, but sometimes the application is the hardest part, because sometimes women know that what they're doing is harming the child and harming the relationship as a whole. But because they're so bitter and they're so hurt because of the way things went, or because the marriage didn't go as planned, or the divorce settlement didn't go as planned, or they feel like they're getting a short end of the stick, they feel like, okay, well, what can I do to make me feel just give me a piece of a whole? And so a lot of times that is the avenue that they go to. And the thing is, that child, once that child gets old enough to make their own decisions, they'll know. Once they get two sides, they'll be able to determine who was wrong or who was right. And then the thing is, what you hope is that that child doesn't have that resentment towards because of the games that the male or the female played. And so a lot of times that's something that we have to think about. We can say what we won't do, you know, all day. You know, a woman can say, hey, I'll never keep you away from your child. Well, I'll never do this, this, and that. But the moment you guys are no longer together, you know, sometimes being upset and that strife, you hold that. You hold that to your heart, and you want that same person to hurt just like you're hurting. And the only way to do that sometimes is by using the child.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things in this whole conversation that I'm hoping that we all get out of it is that as mothers and as fathers, we have a responsibility not only to the children, but we have a responsibility to each other as well. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of the distance is caused by hurts and pains that went on in the relationship. We have to come to a point where I can take responsibility for my actions. I can say, you know, as the father who was in a relationship with this mother and now she's hurt and we have all of these issues going on, why wouldn't I take it upon myself to say, you know what, I understand that I hurt you and I'm sorry, but where do we go from here? And as the mother, why wouldn't she take it upon herself to say, although you hurt me, where do we go from here? Or vice versa. But we definitely have a responsibility to address whatever occurred in our relationship so that we can move on from that place. Because a lot of times we're stuck back in 1982, when that thing happened, and that's how we're operating in everything that we do today. But if we're stuck back in 1982, how are we giving the child the, like I said, how are we presenting the child in the best platform possible? How are we helping them to be all that they can be and get all out of life that they could possibly get?
You know, that's a good point. And as you were saying that, what I was thinking is that, keep in mind, there's got to be some foundations laid from the beginning.
Yes.
And again, that comes back to both parents being, but more so because every parent is not a parent. They just wasn't ready to be a parent. And when you look at a lot of the kids that's being birthed, they're not necessarily being birthed out of love and relationships. They're being birthed out of hookups and one-night stands and different things like that.
Yeah.
So as you were saying, I'm saying what we need to be teaching our young people. We may not be able to do anything for those our age, but maybe what we need to be doing is teaching our young people first and foremost. Now, to get married and have children and the marriage don't work is one thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's one thing. But I'm talking about, because a lot of it ain't marriages that didn't work in the
First place.
It's the boyfriend, girlfriend thing, or the hookup thing where you sleeping with somebody because of lust. Didn't have nothing to do with you even being in. You didn't even know who they were.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't even take the time to get to know. Is this somebody you want to be connected to for the next 18, more than 18 years? Because even after the kid is 18 and grown and on their own, you still got to show up at the same place for birthday parties, grandkids, graduation. You're still going to have to be connected to that person for the rest of your life if you're going to be a part of your child's life. And what's happening is you made a bad decision, slept with the wrong person that created a birth of a child, and now you think you have the choice to jump ship.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And you should have been jumping ship before you jumped in the ship, and then you wouldn't. Then we wouldn't even have this situation. You know.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. And jump in whenever you feel like you want to jump in, because that's what we do.
One of the things I want to tell the people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we got
a lot of times
going here.
A lot of times there's a false sense of reality of what a relationship should be. You know, a lot of times there's no blueprint to what a relationship should be. Sometimes they're definitely unorthodox. Sometimes the circumstances of you getting together may have been questionable. Sometimes not. It just kind of depends. But a lot of that definitely plays into the maturity level of the man and the woman. You know, when you're dealing with each other,
mm-hmm.
hey, this is our foundation. This is what we set. If something happens, if it doesn't work out, this is what we'll do, this, and that. You know, and like I said, a lot of times the problem is when, you know, if the relationship doesn't work, that's when you see the ugliness come out. And I can know from my personal experience, you know, dealing with my ex-spouse, you know, a lot of the things that I talk about now, years ago, if you would have said, hey, do you think that this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen during a divorce, I would have said no. I would have said no. We expect to be each other with each other for the rest of our lives. But obviously, you know, that wasn't the case. And you know, you hope and you pray that these things won't be an issue when that time comes. But everything that I hoped and prayed that wouldn't happened. And a lot of times, it goes back to that maturity level because we got married young. I mean. Truth be told, we got married young, and at the same time, that's no excuse. But a lot of times, we don't have the example to go by anymore. A lot of times, especially with men.
Exactly.
A lot of times, men will go through a relationship, and they'll say, "Oh, I don't want to be with it no more," and we just leave. And we don't have that foundation set anymore. That where the man and woman, when times get hard, we hang in there. We dig in there and plant our feet. A lot of times. We'll get to the point where marriage is so easy, and you can get out of it so quick. You know, hey, you don't want to be with me. I don't want to be with you. Let's divorce. And now that has become the norm. Divorce has now become the norm, whereas like in the old days, people didn't do that. People stayed together.
Yeah.
Even if they stayed together for the kids, they stayed together.
Yeah.
And so that's not something that we see anymore. And then that's the thing. That has become the norm. A lot of times we're looking at relationships on reality shows. We're looking at relationships on social media, thinking that this is the way it's supposed to be, when in actuality, there's no blueprint. There's no blueprint.
Exactly.
But we have to get rooted in each other. You know, we have to set that foundation, and I think that's the problem. We have cracked foundations. We have our foundations are no longer solidified. You think about a home. When they lay that foundation on at home, that foundation is supposed to sit. A strong foundation is supposed to sit and sit and sit. That concrete is supposed to sit there. And a lot of times, these ready-made houses, they're putting these houses up so fast, where they put as soon as the cement is badly dry, and they're already putting the home in. And then you start to have those issues within the foundation of the home because the home was poorly built. And so you can apply that to your relationship.
Yeah.
When you first get together, that's something that we need to do is apply that relationship. And sometimes we don't have the friendship to maintain the relationship.
Exactly.
So being friends
first,
it's important. So it's definitely something that we
need
to do.
Yeah, I need to repeat that. I need to repeat that, Randall, because we have two different audience listening. Those of you that's out there that's listening through Facebook Live, we are live in the studio at MCD Network, Woman to Woman, every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. We have our special guest host online that you may not be able to hear, Mr. Randall Kelly, and he's giving it to us from a male perspective. Our topics tonight have been discussing fathering from afar, fact or fiction, and since last Tuesday, we've discussed the issues and the different problems with the absentee father, and this is not a badgering, and so some women I know because I used to be one of the women that would be on the calls and listen to these type of shows, and my blood would boil. It would just boil because I'd be listening to everybody trying to remain positive about somebody not being around for their kids. But we're looking at it from a different perspective for the for the whole month of August. And the perspective that we're looking at is we want to encourage, empower, educate our men, and we want to eradicate the terms Debbie Dad, loser, sperm donor, SOB, and BOS, and all those other things. We're trying to eliminate those terms. So what we're trying to do is we don't want to continue to deal with the symptoms. The symptoms is no child support. He don't come around. He show up on holidays. He show up when the child is just got his scholarship for football, you know. But those are the symptoms. We're trying to get to the root cause. See, there's something different. There's something deeper that's in the root of that person that's building out these branches. And we want to deal with those root causes. So if I am a young man and my father was in prison, I'm just using that as an example. He was never in my life. And it was just me and mom. And let's just say mom never got remarried or nothing, so I never had the experience of a stepfather. The only example I had in my life was mom, and mom did the best she can. She was a shero. But guess what? Mom, though she taught me how to be a decent human being, she, you know, gave me some great nuggets, she cannot teach. And I know some women out there that will argue me down. If you, a woman cannot teach a man how to be a man. And if you think you can, look at our society right now. Look at our young men out there in the streets right now. Take a good look. I'm not saying there's some exceptions to the rule. Don't get me wrong. I'm praying to God that my sons are the exception to the rule. But that's because I'm going in there knowing that I can't be their daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going in there asking other men. My sons need mentors. They need somebody that's going to check them, that's going to tell them, man, you can't just be sleeping around like that. I mean, mama's telling them that, but they need to hear that from a man's perspective of what they need to do, and they need to be able to, you know, and other men. And moms, if you're out there, find a good man. Not for you. Stop looking for a good man for you and find a good man for your son. Your young son. Find a good man for your young son. Stop just looking for a good man for you, because you could find a good man for your young son that would be willing to mentor those sons and step in as a father figure and teach them some of the things that they know that we can't teach them as a mama, because we're nurturers. Mm-hmm. And as hard as we try to discipline, as hard as I'm trying to punish my sons, and when they were young, I would spank they behind. You know, try to be a disciplinarian. But guess what? I'm a mama, and I would find myself coming back and loving on them and nurturing, and because I just didn't know how to do the balance.
Yeah, and, you know, I want to say a couple things really quickly. One, when you talked about being a disciplinarian, I think a lot of times when we're single mothers, that role becomes kind of hard to fill because, one, you feel guilty that the father is not there. So you're trying to make up for the father not being there. And then, two, sometimes you become so frustrated and anger and bitter that the child receives the brunt of what you're going through. And so it's kind of like there's no middle ground or no there's not this place where you're coming from that it's just pure. It's always tainted. So that's one of the things that I've become aware of. And then another thing, I love the fact, Randall, that you talked about social media and TV giving these impressions of what relationships are supposed to be like, what relationships are supposed to look like, because we have to begin to become our own storytellers. We have to tell our story. And we are the author of our story, and we can determine what that looks like. We can determine if we're raising kings. We can determine if we're raising queens. We can determine if we're raising ratchets or thoughts or pimps or drug dealers. We can determine that. But we still need each other in order to do that. We need each other. There's no two ways around it. There's no ifs or buts about it. We need each other.
Mm-hmm.
And in knowing that you need each other, why do you continue to cut off your right hand in order to spite your left hand? You know, we talked about the role that a father plays in a son's life, but there's also a role that a father plays in a daughter's life.
Yes.
Because he teaches her what type of man to look for, what to expect, how to be treated by a man. And if we as mothers have been in relationships where we're always choosing the wrong man, what do you think you're teaching your daughter?
Mm-hmm.
You don't even know what to look for.
And teaching your sons, because mothers that's been in and out of relationship with different men have a tendency, let me tell you something, you're teaching your son something too, because he's looking at that, and there becomes a certain bitterness inside of him,
mm-hmm.
and he starts losing respect for women. And so he'll go out there and try to juggle 3, 4, 5 different women at a time, because in reality, he wants to find love, but the reality of it is he got some deep-rooted stuff that he haven't even dealt with, that he don't even know he has. So he got this self-hate. He got not self-hate, but he got this hate towards women. And it's a lot of men
that hate towards women. It is self-hate.
Lot of men out there that really hate women. And I'm not saying that they're gay. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, but they really have a hate and a disrespect towards women because of what they've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, what because normally they had a mother, a black mom mostly, and we were hard. We had to be. We were taught how to be hard. You know, we would come up to our sons, walk up on them, tell them, I'll knock you out. I mean, that's what, because we were taught. You keep control, you know, and it was through the art of intimidation.
Yes.
That was real. And so these black men are now growing up, and they're getting away from their black queens. And I'm not talking, this is not about interracial dating. I want y'all to keep it in focus. But they're getting away from their black queens. Why? Because they have some hate. That representation is the one that disciplined me. That representation is the one that used to beat my behind.
Yeah.
That representation was the one that used to tell me when to get up, when to go to bed, when to use the bathroom, when not to. And it was a lot. That representation controlled me, and I don't want nothing to do with it.
Or, you know, it just plays into the stereotypes that the black woman is always struggling. And so let me get with somebody else because she doesn't seem to struggle as much as, you know, the black woman, or the black woman is always angry or bitter. And a lot of times we can be angry or bitter based upon the
things that we have there.
Exactly, you know, exactly. And so, again, when we are able to come together with each other and address our own issues together, it makes it so much easier for us to be able to raise our children together. It makes it so much easier. Like, if you're not in the household, but I could still call you saying, you know what, your son is acting crazy over here, or your daughter is acting crazy over here, and in 5 minutes you right there saying, what's going on, you know, or addressing the situation or addressing the problem, you will end up having less of our daughters sleeping around and thinking it's okay to use their body to get men or manipulate men or even break up marriages and households. You will have less of our young men thinking it's okay to run in and out of women, but not only run in and out of women.
Yeah,
exactly. And it starts with us being able to talk to each other, be open with each other, and go from there.
You know, I came, and I'm going to pass the mic back to you, Randall, but I wanted to say something real quick. See, because I came from a divorced home.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God both of my parents remarried and been remarried for 45 years. So that's a blessing. But in between that remarriage state, I came from a home where my biological dad was very much a part of me and my brother's life. Not only that, he gave us some ground rules. And the ground rules with my dad was two rules and two rules only. Don't lie to me and don't disrespect your mother. And though they had their issues and they were in conflict with one another, which, you know, I knew that, but he would always tell us, it's two reasons that I'm going to tear into you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's if you lie to me or you disrespect your mother. He wasn't having it. So he set the rules, and that's what we need to do. We need to have more fathers that set the rules. Yeah, I'm not with your mama, but if she called me and there's an issue, I'm going to be there. So,
exactly.
And we're going to handle some stuff.
Together.
And a lot of things. As I said, definitely
ahead,
a lot of things is what we need to see is that men need to hold themselves more accountable. And a lot of times we put a lot of we use the excuse of work, 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 and not taking the time out for our families. And a lot of times all it does is it just puts us in that situation, because your kids need to see, and this is from a man's perspective, your children, I have one son and three daughters, okay? And I make sure that my son sees me show affection to my wife, not in a disrespectful way, but I make sure I tell my wife I love her, and I make sure that I'm hugging and showing her that affection on a regular basis. A lot of times when she's doing stuff around the house, sometimes I'll just stop and hold her just sometimes and say, hey, I appreciate you. Hey, thank you. Oh, I love you. And a lot of times that's something that if he sees that at a young age, he knows that, hey, this is the example I need to go by. He doesn't need to see the arguing or the bickering or the cussing each other out on a regular basis. The same thing with my daughters. I make sure they see that. I tell my daughters, hey, you're beautiful. Hey, you're pretty. I make sure that they have nice things. And those are the examples that you set. And if you're the man of your household, you have to make sure you're doing anything and everything to make sure that you're being that example. Because I tell my son all the time, hey, one day you're going to have a family of your own. So hold the door for mom. Make sure this. Help her get groceries out. Hey, make sure you're doing this, this, and this. And be that example to your sisters also, so that when they get older, they know, hey, my dad showed me how to my dad showed me what type of man to look out for. And not only my dad, my brother was also the example. So your kids are an extension of you. And if you're not setting that example, then you're setting yourself and your kids up for failure, because they have to have that example to go by. And the thing is, we a lot of times as we get older, we'll take the same things that we learned as a child, we take that into our relationships. And a lot of times that sets the foundation as to why we are the way we are. And then a lot of times you have men that are mama's boys or men that don't know how to do this because they were never taught. And you have so many men being raised by women. They don't have the ability to take on that father role. You know, and a lot of times they're fine with the woman doing everything for the house. They're fine with the woman making the decisions. They say, hey, go ask your, you know, if the child comes to you and says, ask, can they do something? You go ask your mama. No. If you, as a man of your household, you should be the one that's making those decisions. Now, of course, you don't want to overstep the boundaries with your spouse. You guys are going to be on one accord. But obviously, the woman and the man, the husband and the wife, need to be on one accord, so that whatever if you say this is the way it is, I'm rolling with it. They never need to see the man and the woman so and see the discord. They always have to see you guys. If you go to me and ask me a question, you know it's going to be the same thing your mother said, and vice versa.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, and even going beyond, you know, the husband and the wife being on one accord, I think mothers and fathers always should be on one accord. Even if you remarry, I feel like even if you remarry, you two still have an obligation to the child that you brought into this world. And because of that, there should always be this understanding between you two and then whoever else comes into the relationship, because guess what? Now we're all in a relationship together. It's not me and my new husband and you and your new wife. It's all of us together. So we should still be on one accord when it comes to raising our young people and putting them in the best position possible. And I love how you said that men need to be Yeah, it definitely does. I love how you said that men need to be more accountable, because I feel that as women, we need to be more accountable. We can't just keep on being pissed off, excuse my language, but I'm going to say it, pissed off and running amok because we're disappointed when our men and our sons are out here dying in this world. And so I'm going to be bitter and I'm going to hold a grudge against my child's father, because what? For what reason? When I can put some things aside and say, what is the real goal of what we're doing here? You know, why am I holding on to all of this when I look into this world and I see most of the men, young and older, in jail or being beat or being killed or being locked out of situations as far as jobs and purchasing homes and different things like that. Why can I put my own feelings aside to say, let's come together and see what we can do together?
I want to say, let me just read this from one of our listening audience. They said, when there is only a mother in the house, now this is coming from a male perspective. This is a male that wrote this. It says, when there is only a mother in the house, she's really not able to handle the males within the home. When she's working all the time, two jobs to ensure bills are paid, and you get what is. So if I understand what the writer is writing, is that it's very difficult being a single parent.
Yeah.
It's very difficult when you have.
Go ahead, Randall.
I definitely have a personal experience with that. I can talk about my mother, because my mother raised me and my brother, and my sister also. You know, it was me and my brother. She was primarily with us two. Now, my dad was a part of the home, but he wasn't in the home. He was there, but he wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's another issue that, you know, we as men sometimes have. We're in the house, but we're disconnected. And one thing I could say, my mom played both roles. And if my brother was here, he would be able to attest to this. My mom played mom, she played dad, she played teacher, different. She was everything to us. And the example I had as far as being what type of man I needed to be was by listening to my mom and looking at the examples that my dad showed us, which was none. There were no examples. Like I said, my dad was there, but he wasn't there. And my dad died at a young age due to alcoholism.
Wow.
He drunk himself.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I said. It was the disconnect. It was the substance abuse. And because he wasn't there, that was the example that we had. I said, hey, I need to learn how to treat a lady by my love that I have for my mother. And in addition to that, I need to be the man of the house by doing the exact opposite of what my dad did. So at a young age, I had to learn how to decipher that within myself, because I knew I was growing. You know, soon I was going to become my own man with my own family, my own wife and kids. And so, you know, it's possible that women can raise boys in the home to do any and everything. And I can sit here and say that me and my brother, we're both educated. We both work in law enforcement. My brother's an active duty active military policeman. And the example we had was watching my mom work the double shifts, working long hours, coming home. We used to iron her clothes and make sure the house was clean. And even would help our mom help our mom do things around the house, because we knew that if we loved her, we wanted to make things comfortable, because we knew when she got home, she was gonna make it all right. My dad, if he was there, he was there. If he was, he was more like a babysitter. So, you know, it was just one of those things. And so those examples are definitely there. You know, the rule is not the exception. So, but those examples are definitely there. There's women out there who are raising kids now, and they are the mom and the dad. They're making the practice, the football practices, the basketball practices, the karate practices. They're playing both roles. And we as men, a lot of us have to thank our moms, the good men out here, we have to thank our moms, because we knew our moms were there. And a lot of times in the black household, in the black family, the men, the absence of men is the issue, because, like I said, we didn't have that example. And a lot of guys are growing up not knowing, not having that example to go by. So a lot of times they're having to depend on a coach or a school teacher, you know.
Yep.
Again, it goes back on that we as men having to step up, because we need to do that. We have to step up, because we have to be that example for these young guys out here.
Definitely. Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, men do have to step up, because they play such a major role in our households. They play such a major role in our life the structure is that the man sets the direction, or he sets the course in which the family should go. And everybody is in support of that. Mm-hmm. And everybody works towards that goal, or everybody works towards that direction. And so when we have these women who have to play two roles, or be two roles in the household, it should only be that way when it's out of necessity, meaning maybe the father has passed on and there's no one to step in. But as long as there's an active male, I believe as long as there's an active male within her her paradigm, then I think that man should step in and be of support to that woman, because again, we are talking about affecting a whole culture, and we have to change a whole culture. But in order to do that, we still have to find a way of coming together, of being in support of each other, despite the issues, despite the challenges, despite the pain or suffering that we feel that we've gone through. We have to get to a place where we're teaching our young men how to not just survive, but how to stay alive, how to respond to this world that has been given to them.
Mm-hmm.
How do they respond to it and thrive in it? Not struggle, but thrive.
Yeah.
We have to be teaching them how to count their money, how to pay their bills, how to keep their credit good, how to make purchases, how to plan for their future. And we can't do that when we're consistently fighting against each other and tearing each other down.
Right. Randall, I want to ask you a question, because we're doing this the whole month of August for those listening in. And so next week we got some serious topics. So I don't want to get deep into it, but I want to ask our guest host a question, and then we're going to ask our audience, you gentlemen that's listening in, because it's not just about listening in. We want you to leave the show with some aha moments,
mm-hmm.
like, wow, I need to take a look at that. So one of the topics we're going to talk about next Tuesday, but I want to throw it out there because I want you to think about it. Between that age of 0 to 7, can you think of some things that happened in your life that were that you feel may have caused you to be stuck? Those from 0 to 7, what were some major things? Can you remember major things that happened in your life? Now, I know we're going to talk some real talk here, because what we're trying to do is get you whole. We need the men to get whole and be able to be a part of their kids' life. And some of you kids are already grown, and you think, wow, I wasn't in their lives. They're grown now. It's too late. It's never too late. But you have to come whole. And if you come if you come three-quarters, if you come, because most men, what I notice is they won't own up. They won't own their stuff.
Yeah.
And I think most women, baby mamas, most kids, all they want, kids, whether their mom's in their life or their dad's not in their life, whoever, whichever parent, all they want you to do is own. Yes, I was on drugs. I wasn't in your life. I was not a good example of a parent. But I had my own issues I had to work through.
Yep.
I got myself together, baby, and I just want to be a part of your life because I know I wasn't there. That's what most people want to hear. Even women that have kids that's doing it by themselves, there is hurt. The hurt is not because you're not there. The hurt is because you won't own your stuff. And I think most women could be understanding if you went through life, you have some issues, some things that happened in your life, you made some bad choices, you can't get a job, you can't do something. I think, and I'm not going to say all mothers, but I think a lot of mothers, I think it's more important to have a relationship with your children, where you're spending time with them, building memories, than it is about the money. Yes, we need money to survive, but there's a lot of good women out there, mothers, that have careers that really don't need your money but would appreciate your money, you know, because it can help supplement. But they want their kids' fathers to love their kids. I love my son. You love you. We love our kids, and when the mother's love that love is like no other, and we just want other people to love our kids like we love them. And you being the father, that's what all we want. Simply, it's not no ands, ifs, or buts. We simply just want you. I love my child, and I would die and sacrifice for him. And all the mothers are saying, are you willing to die and sacrifice for your child?
And, you know, I think that we have to get beyond just loving our children, because we still have to love that other person.
Well, that's only with God. Like,
what?
That's only with God. You can't.
you really do. You have to get to the point where you love that other person. You love that other person. Now, I can honestly say I love my ex-husband. I am not in love with my ex-husband. But as people, as humans in general, I love my ex-husband.
But I know who you are. You get what I'm saying? I know who you are. I know your relationship with God. And I'm saying that to say, because it takes a spiritual – you got to be in tune spiritually to understand even what love is. That's how most of us got in the situations we in, because we was in love and not in love.
Yeah.
And so I'm saying that that's a good thing, but everybody that's listening in don't have a relationship with God or the kind of relationship that they need with God in order to. Now, I love my ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
it's literally as much whatever hurts or angers or things that had come over the years, whatever disappointment, because you didn't do what I thought you were supposed to do, I didn't do what you thought I was supposed to do. The bottom line is that I really have a past the pain and whatever. My desire as a woman is that my ex has a relationship with our sons. That's my ultimate. But everybody's not there. And for me, I pray for him. I want to see him successful. I want to see him be everything God's created him to be. Why? Because he's their dad. And if he's in their lives and he's his dad, I want him to be successful, because the more successful he could be, then the more he could help me make sure that these boys are successful. So it's never been my plan. You know, it hurts when you're not there. But I need you to be there, and I need you to be successful, and I need you to be whole and healthy and happy.
Those are great examples definitely to have, and you want, you know, and I'm thankful that there are women out there that have those same views. But the reality of the fact is, most women do not feel that way. When it comes to, if they're not happy, you're not happy. They don't want you to be happy.
Mom ain't happy, nobody happy.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is, and when it comes to, because my ex-wife, I have love for my ex-wife because she's the mother of my child, but that's the extent of it. When it comes to that, that's definitely the extent of it. But I want to see her do well. I have and I will never share an ill feeling about her in front of my child. And I think that also plays a part as to why our kids are being raised, and sometimes they have that confusion because the mother says so much about the dad in front of the child.
Year by year goes by
that these kids are building this own, they're building the type of relationship based on what you told them. And then when they go with their father, if they go with their father, now they're having to decipher between fact and fiction. A lot of times they don't know what to believe, and at the same time, they're jaded because they don't want to let you down, but at the same time, they do have that relationship for that other parent. So a lot of times it takes maturity for the woman and the man to not down-talk their ex-baby mama, ex-spouse, ex-baby daddy in front of that child. Because like I said, you're building that type of relationship to where that child now needs to remember, because kids remember those things. We remember those things.
Yeah.
Everything that has been told to you, to a child, they will remember those things. And a lot of times there's life experience that allows them to result back to what they remember as a child. So if you're putting your mouth on your child's mother or your child's father in front of that child, I mean, I'm not saying you need to stop, but you definitely want to take a look at that, because those kids remember that. they remember those things.
They definitely.
And you don't want to have them jaded to where when they go to that other parent's place, they have those type of relationships. I could speak on a situation where when my ex broke up, I remarried. After some time, I remarried, and the issue that my ex-wife had was that my daughter was calling my current wife mommy. She had an issue with that, and you know, and some women may have huge issues with that. Now, me personally, if my ex-wife decides to marry again, I have no issue with my daughter calling her husband that. If he's earned that, if he's doing everything he's supposed to do, as long as he's not sexually assaulting her, or talking bad to her, or talking crazy to her, and he's doing everything he's supposed to do as stepdad, I have no problem with that. Because at the end of the day, it's about the betterment of that child. And if we're providing that atmosphere, I guarantee you, as my daughter gets older, if she sees that example, then I think that it puts them at an advantage. But like I said, every woman won't agree with that. Some women say, no, I'm your mama. And it's not to say that you're not the mother. Nope, no one's taking that away from you. But you have to understand, if you guys are no longer together, eventually there will be another person in that place for your child. And that's not in a disrespectful way. But you can't expect everyone to be single forever, you know?
Let me say this. I want to speak to that, and I want to speak to that as a live adult that was a child. Parents, you make it so difficult for your children. Let's say when both parents are involved in the child's life. Because when I was a child, both of my parents had gotten remarried and were in relationships. And when parents are not flowing, it makes it difficult because the child is always going to show loyalty to the biological parent per se. And so, like you said, when if you guys didn't hear our guest host, he was saying that when he got a divorce and he got remarried, his ex-wife had a problem because the child was calling his current wife mommy. Now, keep in mind, she's coming to a home with her dad where there's other siblings, where her half-siblings are, and they're all calling this lady mommy. So it's going to be natural as a child that she's going to follow suit. My oldest son has that same scenario. Three of the kids are not his wife's kids, but they all call her mom. But the mother of the children have an issue. And I'm saying the issue comes with that when you feel insignificant about who you are in that child's life. Because when you know your mom or you know your dad and you know you have a relationship with your child and you're providing and you're sewing into that child, then you know what? You know nobody could take that title from you. You know nobody could take that relationship from you, and you won't have an issue that the child is calling the step-parent mom or dad. And again, like I said, I come from a divorced family, extended. I'm probably one of the extended family. And so I call both of my, and anybody that know me, I never use the word step.
Mm-hmm.
The word step,
yes,
is for a house, leading outside of a house or coming
step,
into it.
Step.
I don't call them.
Exactly.
But people who know me, when I'm talking about my biological father, I say my dad and mom. When I'm talking about my biological mom, I say my mom and dad. Everybody knows that about Coach D. That word step is so disrespectful and degrading when these people are married to your parents, which means that they have invested in making sure that you are mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially okay. And so I call my mama is mama. That's my mama. My mom is my mom. My dad is my dad, but my daddy is my daddy. And so my daddy and my mom, of course, are the biological. But I use that term, and I'm telling you, don't take that away from your children. If you and your ex relationship, whether it was a husband or a boyfriend, whatever it was, and you guys have moved on, and now the kids have to now deal with your current. Now, if it's a spouse, you know, if you just, you know, if you just shack, you just kicking it with somebody, and you want the kids to call that person, because that title was meant, I believe. Now, somebody could correct me if they got a different emotion towards that, but that title, mom and dad, are really meant for. I think it's meant for somebody. It's meant for husbands and wives. I don't know.
Well,
I mean, it don't have to be. No, I mean, you know, it's got to get a little.
Well, I think, again, like you said, if we're just shacking up, then no, you don't know if that person is going to be permanently in your life to say, okay, call her mama, now call her mama.
Right.
It's a new mama.
Next week you can.
It needs to be a genuine organic relationship.
Yeah,
because I'm not gonna.
Wait, I'm sorry.
To me, calling somebody mom and dad is a kind of a permanent thing. And if you can't even take y'all relationship enough to say I do, then you know that gets into a whole nother thing. So we're gonna have to discuss that next week. So we are towards it. We overextended our show. But I tell you, these August shows have been so great with our special guest, Mr. Randall Kelly, straight out of the H-Town, and he has really been awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. Yes. He has been giving his male perspective on this subject matter. Next week, we're going to stay on this thing throughout the whole month of August. And some of the topics we want to bring out up next week, I want to put on your guys' minds. One of the things we're going to be speaking about next week is being in the home but not at home. And this is going to talk about the men that are in their home, but they're so far removed either through just emotionally, maybe they're so caught up in their careers or their vocation that they just don't have time for to invest the time. We're going to talk about that. And then the other thing that I want you men that's listening in is just think about from the age of 0 to 7, and I know it might be a painful thought, but we got to get rid of some of that garbage. Cause see, it's like a dead rat in the glass.
0 to 7.
I'm picking 0 to 7 because 0 to 7 are the formative years, and generally from the age of 0 to 7 is those things that have happened that make who you are today. By 7. Most people are formed of where they're going to be. Now, that don't mean something could come in your life, either a person or a situation that could change the dynamics of that. But for the most part, at 7 years old, we are who we're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so the reason I said 0 to 7 is because what are those things that happen? And let's keep it real. There's some men out there that during that age of 0 to 7 that's been molested. And you don't talk about it now because that was a painful experience. It may have caused you to even question your manhood. And thank praise God, you are where you are, but I'm just saying, those are things, women, that we're dealing with our men, because women could talk about that stuff. And people pat women on the back, and we'll pat them on the back, we'll hug them, we'll comfort them, and then we'll do what we need to do to make them whole, to go out into this world and be productive. Men can't talk about stuff like that. Who's hugging me when these young boys have been molested? And when these young boys have been molested, it's only a couple of things that could take place. Either they make a choice because of whatever that situation was, they end up in a choice to go with the flow of that situation and the feelings, and you could see some things happen. The other thing is a lot of times women, we see men that's sleeping around with a bunch of different women, and we want to label them as dogs. And we want to label them with all these labels, but you're not dealing with what happened to that young boy that would make him want to spread himself so thin. You know, because that, and have you ever thought that maybe he was molested as a little boy, and part of his way of proving that he's a man is by him sleeping with a bunch of different women because he's trying to prove to himself that ain't nothing wrong with me? That's not every man that's out there doing that, but have we ever thought of, see, we don't think about those things because we're only thinking about us, how this man hurt me. But we're not thinking about what kind of hurt that this person had went through to get to where they're at and the decisions they're making not to be a part of their children's lives or whatever. So it's a healing process. That's right, Coach Tony. It's a healing process that needs to take place with our men and our women. And if we can't get healed, all the stuff that Minister LeDon was saying was great stuff. But we got to get them to a point to even get to that point because they got the brokenness. So we're going to be talking about that kind of stuff. Is there any other subject matter that we want to bring up next week? And if you have some subject matters, please inbox us or write on our wall and tell us some things that you would like to hear us discuss throughout the rest of the month of August.
Mm-hmm. Randall, do you have any parting words for our audience?
No, I'm actually very interested in discussing that topic. I have experience working several years in special victims where I dealt with sex crimes, where it was sexual assaults against juveniles, and so how that definitely will translate into the discussion we'll have on next week. So I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Awesome! Woo! That's gonna be exciting. So we're going to ask you that's listening in, whether you're listening in the studio or listening in Facebook Live, we're going to ask you, each one, invite nine. Invite someone next Tuesday, 7 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, woman to woman, and our topic is Fathering from Afar, Fact or Fiction. We've had some great topics regarding this subject last week, this week. We have our special guest host that's going to be in the studio with us the whole month of August. We're trying to get him to become a permanent resident, but he's a busy man. But we're still keep us in prayer of agreement that his schedule will allow him to bring a show for men with, so men could discuss some man things, some man issues, the things that men have to go with that they women don't understand. You know, we need that kind of show. So our guest host, Randall Kelly, is going to be in the studio with us next Tuesday, and we're going to continue this discussion about fathering. And we just hope that you'll join us again on next week. Our shows are from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Tonight, the discussion was so engaging that we did go over. So for those, you know, we apologize taking you over, but if you're tuned in, it must have been exciting for you. One of the things we want to make clear for those listening through Facebook Live, if you want to participate in this discussion, please dial into the studio on Tuesday at 7 p.m. Just dial into the studio. The number is 646-721-9678. Again, that's area code 646-721-9678. If you dial into the studio, they're listening to the show, you have the opportunity to ask questions or make comments by dialing one on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question. They'll bring you into the studio, and you will be able to interact with us. It's hard interacting with you on Facebook Live. I've seen a lot of people texting. It wasn't because we're ignoring you, but it's just a lot harder for us to see all the text that's coming up through Facebook Live and be able to respond to them. Every now and then I'll catch some, but I want you to know that it's not a disregard. But if you want to participate in this discussion, we recommend that you call into the studio. That way your voice could be heard, your questions, your concerns could be heard. And this is not just for women, but this show is really about our men. Again, this is not a tear-down show, so if you come live in the studio, do not come thinking that you could – we're not going to, you know, that you can really tear that. We're not trying to tear down our men. We're trying to build them up. Again, we're trying to empower and encourage and educate them, and we're trying to just do away, eradicate the terms of deadbeat dad and sperm donor and loser and SOB and all this other stuff. We're trying to get rid of that. We want our men healthy and whole, and because whether they're our men from a partnership standpoint or they're our men because they're our children's fathers, we want them whole because look at the earth. Look at what's around us. Look what's going on. Got to be conscious. Look what's going on. And if these men are not whole and not healthy, then guess what? We're going to continue to see things just get worse. Amen.
Amen.
So I don't know, Randall, if you don't have any parting words, I don't know, Minister LaDon, if you want to pray us out.
You know, one of the things I would like to say before I even start in prayer is that we all need to take into consideration that we're all human beings.
Yes.
We all make mistakes. We all wish at some point in time that we could do better or that we hadn't done what we did.
Yes.
And so when you think about that, you leave room for someone else to make mistakes. You leave room for someone else to grow from their mistakes. You leave room for someone else to just evolve in this world. When you come into this world and before you leave this world, we all have a job to do. We're all in relationship with each other. And how dare we hold on to our negative and our bad feelings instead of touching the next person's life and filling it with love and filling it with concern and support for each other. Like, there's so much hatred in this world that why are we passing it back and forth amongst ourselves? Why are we passing it back and forth amongst this person that we were once intimate with or planned a life with? It's your choice to either stay bitter or it's your choice to grow from where you are today and do better tomorrow than you did today. And we can't control the choice that you make, but we hope, we strongly encourage you to start making the choice that creates life, that builds life, that empowers life. And so if your relationships with your children's parents is not good, decide today to change that and do whatever it takes to change that.
Yeah. And do your part. They may not change.
Yeah.
They may not receive the change. But just do it your part, because I'm going to tell you, especially, and I'm talking to believers right now, when you have a relationship, it's possible, and I'm a witness, and I'm not gonna just put too much of my business out there, but I definitely was a benefactor of the following from afar, and I have some hurt feelings, I'm gonna call them hurt feelings, because that's what most of us is operating in, hurt feelings, but God is able. And God is able, and there's a lot of times that I cried out before God. I really, really cried out before God because I was so hurt, about my, about the relationships with my ex and our son. And I just cried out before God a lot of times, and a lot of times I had to pray. I had to pray for God to just take away the pain, take away the anger, take away the hate, all this stuff that we build up inside of us when we feel betrayed. And that's what it is. And I had to pray. And I'm telling somebody, this what I'm saying right now is for somebody that's out there. You're going through some stuff, and you're listening to us with your left ear, but with your right ear you're saying, but you don't understand. You don't know what he did to me, or you didn't know what she did to me, and you don't know what they did to me, and all of that. And I'm telling you, I'm not talking about this because I don't understand. Minister LaDon has four daughters. She's not talking about this because she don't understand. Mr. Kelly is on the line. He's going through. We're going through. We're not coming on here trying to be hypocrites or tell you about something we don't know. So we had to go through some stuff to get where we at right now.
Yep.
We had to go through it. We had to be willing to go through. We had to really be willing. And one of the things, a 15-year-old, my youngest son said this. He said, people are such hypocrites. He listened to the show last week, and he said, people are such hypocrites. He said, because people will condemn people about getting an abortion. He said, but getting an abortion is no worse than a father walking out on his child. But that same father would condemn somebody for getting an abortion. He said, because one kills the body, the other kills the spirit. That came from my 15-year-old son. And I get emotional when I think about, don't think for one minute that our kids are not understanding, that they don't know what's going on, that they don't see the effects of it. And thank God, if you're a godly parent, that you can have a child that is that intelligent to say, it's no different whether you get an abortion or you abandon your child. There's no difference. The murder is the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's profound. That's powerful coming from a 15-year-old, you know. And so I'm saying that to say we got to do better. Our kids are watching us. They're watching us, and they're taking notes. And if they're lucky, they won't. If they're lucky, they'll be productive citizens, and they'll move on in life and have kids and have a family and be great, and they won't be damaged by our mistakes, our own crap that we didn't process through before we start having kids.
Yeah.
But we got some crap, and what we're, this show is about is let's get rid of our crap.
Yes.
So that we can be excellent parents. So we love you all. We appreciate you. We look forward to next Tuesday show. It's going to be dynamic. If you know somebody right now that's living in the life of crap, dealing with this parent thing, have them tune in next Tuesday.
Yep.
Have them listen in. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be rewarding. And we got it from a male perspective. And I'm telling you, Facebook Live is great because you can see us, but you won't get the contents of the show unless you call in. Then you can hear all of us. You can hear our guest host, and he says some profound things, and he's telling it from a male's perspective. You'll only hear that if you call in. So we're gone. We love you all. We appreciate you, and we'll see you next Tuesday. Be blessed. Okay, so we're closing out in the audience. Audience, we want to thank you for tuning in to this night's show of Woman to Woman. We appreciate you for being here. We hope you tune in again with us next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And also tune in to our Processing the Pain show on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Know that you are truly loved and appreciated. And we will see you next week.
And if you happen to miss the beginning of this show, or you missed the previous show, go to our page and click the link, and you'll be able to listen to the shows.
Good night.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing, songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life we bring.
Here we go.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing, songs of love.
Sing it again.
Okay, Kayla, sing it down low for him.
Ha ha ha.